Welcome to this week's episode of the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
Oh, you're doing a proper voice. I wasn't prepared for that. Wow.
Get your voice on. Clear your throat. Oh, okay.
I'm ready.
Okay.
We have an addition for you guys this week. We decided to, I don't know, talk about this past 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks of bullshit winter weather that actually turned into be a pretty serious deal. And so we did that. You and me talked about it for about an hour, and we're gonna throw that after the credits so y'all can hear about what we went through.
Listen to our stories, listen to us bitch about the snow, all of that and more after the ending sexy music. Now, on to the show.
I'm just chilling today.
You're chilling. Well, chilling. Is that a joke because it's snowing outside?
I mean, I don't love that part. The snow should start here in the next few hours.
It has been snowing since I woke up this morning, very gently. Yeah. And it says that it says it's supposed to pick up to a more hearty snow here in a bit. And they've also, now I'm sure anyone from a place who has snow is going to laugh at me for not knowing why they specified this, but it is funny to me as someone not from the north who gets these things. They were like, snow and blowing snow around 3 o'clock. And they just kept specifying. They're like, chance of snow and heavy blowing snow around 12 or whatever. And I'm a child and I was just like, eh. I mean, I'm sure it has something to do with like visibility and I don't fucking know.
But you know, blowing snow.
Oh man.
I'm excited.
So, what are we talking about today on this? I know. I am too. You told me yesterday on the live what you're talking about, and I had a visceral reaction to it. Something that I feel like we don't really go down this path a lot, I feel like. It's sort of like a stone, but it's different.
Yeah, it might be our first metal.
We don't. Yeah, I was going to say we don't seem to go that path. The closest thing I could think is like the glasses, you know, obsidian or sea glass or something like that.
Yeah, but, yeah.
So you're talking copper. Wait, copper. Did you reveal that yet? Or did
no,
I?
But it's okay if you reveal it. You could do it if you want. I don't mind. Mixing it up.
It's my topic now. Dude, what if we just forewent all of the research that we have both done? We just tell each other our topics and we just sort of go for it.
Guess.
I'll tell you about copper. It's a metal.
That would be really fun. But you still need to fill like 15 minutes, you know, or like however long we usually do. Like you need to fill that space. So you can't just be like, it's a metal and it comes. It's like, no, you got to bullshit your way through the full segment.
It's from the mint family. And you can use it for exorcisms.
It's in Asteraceae.
Oh, that what I've got for you today is actually from Asteraceae family. And I'm going to be talking about wormwood.
Cool. Witchy.
Deadly.
Poison.
Sort of. Not really. I mean,
it's a pies. Put this on your poison cabinet.
And because of the weather, the lag is going to be shit today.
We should probably mention that this might be a little bit of a shorty short. We're both at risk for power outages today.
Yeah. I do want to know, what is your projected accumulation to get?
Well, Macy, I'll tell you. It's like less than half an inch or like less than an inch, something like that. But overnight, it's 3 to 4 inches.
Yeah, good. You're about what we are. We're, I think, 3 to 5, according to the Weather Channel. So let's see. Let's see what we wind up with.
I also keep running through all of the different weather stations, like weather.gov, weather.com, just like all the different places, just to see how much they can never get their story straight.
None of them. No, none of them. Not a single one of them. And that's why I didn't buy fucking gas for my tank, to be completely honest, and why I'm fucked for a heating solution right now for if the power goes out, is because it's never right. Like the past several snows that we've gotten are like ice. It's supposed to be so much worse than it turns out to be. Like the day before, they're like, psych, it's going to be 35 degrees and we'll have a light drizzle, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I kind of pissed it off. And I was like, it's not going to actually happen. And now not only is it happening, it's happening for 2 straight weeks.
Yeah, it's happening for 2 straight weeks.
Because it's going to be under freezing until like Friday of next week.
Next Friday. Ugh. Yeah. 2 straight weeks. Yeah, I saw on the weather that it's going to snow. We get one day of reprieve and then it's going to start snowing again.
So bummed.
I do like the snow. However, I realize there are people out there who can't like take off of work or don't have a home to live in. And it's a little bit scary. I went outside today and I noticed some like little birds were just huddling like close to the house. Like they kept flying under the porch and I was like, what do I do about this? And I got really bummed about it.
Yeah. It's hard on the animals not used to it. You know, I'm worried about like all of my, like I have gardenias growing all around the house and like they can survive a winter, but they've never, I don't think, had to survive anything like this. And these are like 15 to 20 year old gardenias. And I'm worried that being frozen literally with a sheet of ice on them for 2 weeks, I'm worried about them making it.
Well, I mean, they've been there for 15 years, right? They'll live. That's how that works, right? Once something is in place for a long enough time, it's there forever.
There you go. That's it. That's all I needed to hear.
That's what I do best, telling you what you want to hear. If you're ever in dire need of reassurance, that's what I live for.
There it is.
I will lie to you for days. But before we go any further, on this blessed snowy day, this episode, Copper and Something, as Macy has titled it.
I forgot what you were talking about.
Is dedicated to Plant Daddy.
Whoa. I like that.
Plant Daddy. And I don't know if it's Plant Daddy or if it's Chloe B, but either way, I'm going with Plant Daddy.
I like Plant Daddy. I'm here for it. It's a good, good, strong name.
You know, that's always bothered me in movies and things when they're like, I'm specifically thinking Pirates of the Caribbean, but you know, William, that's a strong name. What the fuck is a weak name?
Well, like, but like also like everyone is named William at this time. So like, is it a strong name?
Every person you meet, it's a guarantee that their name is William. And every lady is Winifer.
Yeah. Or Mary.
Oh, Mary.
Have I told you about my Mary mix-up that happens all of the time?
Your name? Yeah. Why? I don't understand. It's not even close.
I don't know, but I mean, like, people will just disregard my email signature. And for, like, conversations that require a lot of emails and a lot of opportunity to read my emails, so every one of them is like, all right, thanks, Mary. It's like, what? Come on.
It seems like such a slap. Thanks, Mary. I don't really have anything quite like that. I get a lot of misspellings because I think people get halfway through Charlie and they either go, oh, the name is Charlie, I know how to spell that, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, and they roll with that, or they get halfway through, it doesn't compute, and it turns into some weird bastard form of my name.
Yeah. I've
seen the weirdest shit. However, I will always take Carlisle.
Good. That's a good, safe one.
Shall we sing Plant Daddy?
Yeah. And what?
Well, of course, we just need to think of a song that says daddy.
I know. And that's why I was racking my brain on that. I'm trying to figure out.
I'm sure there's a song called Daddy Issues.
Yeah, but do you know it?
I mean, there is one by Trisha Paytas called Daddy Issues, and I very ashamedly do know it, but I'm not going to go there because it's kind of a niche.
Oh God, this is depressing. The first thing that I don't know, because, you know, like the way that I try to think of these songs is like I turn on a radio scanner, like a spirit box, and I just like wait for songs to be like,
yeah, yeah.
And the first one that came into my head was Plan Daddy, if you could get me a drink
of water,
because my lips are chapped and faded.
Call my Plan Daddy.
Yeah. Call my Plan Daddy.
Call my Plant Daddy. Okay. All right. Oh, boy. Thank you, Plant Daddy.
Daddy. Daddy. Wow.
So I'm going to talk to you about Wormwood. And it's going to be a struggle for us to try to stay focused and do this episode and get you guys the content you know and love from Wabah on a time schedule. So we're not here when the power just fucks off. But let's see. Wormwood. Also, here, we listen to this. Artemisa absinthium.
No.
And there's apparently over or about 300 types of I have to say Artemis every time before I say this. Artemisa. There we go. Artemisa. Wormwood, a.k.a. worm seed. Bitter. Bitter wormwood. Grand wormwood. Slovenwood.
Oh.
Which I think sounds kind of cool. Sweet Annie. Not no. Sweet Melissa. Sweet Annie. Old man, old what? Woman.
What?
And lad's love.
Okay, we're all over the place with these names.
I know. I would like to just go over a few of my favorites. Slovenwood sounds like a cool town that you go to get really trashed. Yeah. Of course, there's old man and old woman, because why the fuck not both?
Sure.
And
¿por qué no las dos?
Okay. And lad's love. The planet associated with Wormwood is Mars, and the element, if you could guess, is fire. The plant itself is it's very pretty and mystical looking to me. It's one of those plants that's got that like silvery look to it, like fuzziness on it, sort of like a lamb's ear or something like that. Wormwood looks a lot like Dusty Miller, if you're aware of Dusty Miller. I love those silvery looking plants. Mm-hmm. Also mm-hmm. because it looks a lot like Nernroot and
Nern.
Within Wormwood lies a ketone by the name of Thujone.
Just throw your tone and all of that. Within Wormwood lies a ketone. Through this ketone, you must travel to learn the ultimate answers that you seek.
Dude, I'm so glad that that's what you got off of that, because that's all I want to be in life, is that person. Oh, no, you're going to have to absolutely fucking stop me from doing that voice the whole rest of the episode. Right. Oh, that was an ugly laugh. Cut that out.
That was an evil laugh.
Thujone is what holds the majority of the key to life. fucking Christ. Okay, Thujone is what holds the majority of the psychotropic properties that Wormwood is known for. It's also responsible for the dangerous side effects. In mice, in large doses, Thujone has caused death.
Oh.
It's also been noted to have the following effects in humans. Convulsions, seizures, vomiting, numbness, delirium, and paralysis. So we aren't fucking joking, bitch. This is a serious plant. Please don't.
And it seems to be like a neurotoxin?
There's some other side effects, you know, lighter side effects like nauseousness without vomiting and then a feeling of too much energy. I guess what's the word I'm looking for? You're just kind of buzzy. You know what I mean? You know what I'm trying
to say? That's what I always say is buzzy.
Buzzy. Yeah. But like in a really unpleasant way. Yeah. And then there's some stomach issues that you can have just because your body's trying to reject it. But those are sort of the high end dangerous side effects that we're talking about. However, This aside, apparently, and this is from Wikipedia, so there's only one case of documented toxicity of wormwood involving a man who drank 10 milliliters of steam distilled.
Oh my God. Wow.
Essential oil of wormwood, wrongly thinking that it was absinthe. He just gulped it down and
damn.
Died, which we'll do it to you. Also, got to put it out. Do not use, even handle, or even look at, or probably even think about wormwood if you are pregnant or trying to become so. More on that later. But up front, don't do it. Not today. Wormwood is known for its exceptionally bitter taste. The name absinthium is derived from possibly derived from the same word that we also get the word unenjoyable from.
Oh.
Which is how I feel about fucking absinthe in general. Many sources, along with the Witch Bitch Comedy Hour, stress that you do not use wormwood essential oil internally or even topically. It is a very dangerous oil. This is better suited to use in jars and other spell works that don't involve ingesting it. If you are wanting to create...
Stop. Why did you say Witch Bitch Comedy Hour?
Because sometimes I refer to us in funny ways.
Okay, I just wanted to check to make sure
that I wasn't having an aneurysm.
Yeah, that you didn't do that on accident. I needed to know that was the case. Okay, good.
No, that was intentional. It was okay. Deliberate.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
If you are wanting to create an anointing oil for your tools, you are better off using the leaves or the flowers of the plant within the oil. I would advise to just stay away from wormwood essential oil. It seems to be bad news. Mm. And if you do use it, no matter how, please limit your exposure. What I saw was about 2 weeks of consecutive use.
Oh, not long.
Not very long at all. It's potent. It's a potent bitch. So, famously, this is or was used in the original recipe for absinthe, giving the drink its reported hallucinogenic reputation. But before that, it's been used in healing. Historically, as well as like nowadays, wormwood is used to, or it's used in the deworming process. That's actually where the name wormwood comes from. Is from ridding farm animals and sometimes like humans back in the day, of intestinal parasites.
Damn.
Today, you can look on most like chicken deworming things and you'll see wormwood right up front.
Interesting.
Biblically, the first time wormwood grew was along the path that the serpent took as it was leaving Eden. And pretty much wherever, in most translations, pretty much wherever wormwood is mentioned in the Bible, it's done so in a way to suggest bitterness.
Okay.
So all around this, so far, not a great reputation.
Mm-hmm.
One of the 300 types of Artemis, known as Roman... known as Roman wormwood. Please. Okay. I challenge you to say Roman wormwood twice.
Roman wormwood, Roman wormwood.
You fucking asshole. Anyway, Roman wormwood was placed in the shoes of traveling Roman soldiers to keep their feet from growing weary. So here's the good shit. Absinthe was outlawed in the U.S. in 1912. After the same year the Titanic sank,
yeah.
I do believe. Mm-hmm. After a string of murders in Switzerland or France. I couldn't really quite get a good read on this. It's either it happened in Switzerland and then like France reacted, so then America reacted, or the other way around. But after a string of murders that were dubbed the Absinthe Murders... It was reported that the crimes were committed by someone under the influence of absinthe. They took absinthe and they just went fucking crazy and killed some people. Mm-hmm. So the reaction, like the banning of it, was mostly mostly fear-based. It was a panic reaction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any kind of hard evidence or even like reoccurring cases of stuff like this happening. But they didn't want it to they didn't want it to happen. Another way that wormwood has been used is in matters of the uterus, most notably starting a late flow or inducing childbirth. Mm. However, it was also for a long time turned to when looking to end a pregnancy.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm telling you, please, please, please be careful. If
that's literally what it wants to do.
Yeah, that's what it's trying to do. And then here we go. Oh, Macy, something's coming over me. Hold on.
Wormwood makes an excellent treatment for the stings of bees, wasps, scorpions, and snake bites.
Oh, man. Sorry. Those were words directly from Nicholas Culpepper.
Oh, there he is. Okay. I thought I recognized him.
And speaking of our dear friend, Nicholas Culpepper, now this is from Wikipedia also, and I'm just going to read this because this is so funny to me. Nicholas Culpepper insisted that wormwood was the key to understanding in his 1651 book, The English Physician? I don't know. Richard Mabey describes Culpepper's entry on this bitter-tasting plant as stream of consciousness and unlike anything else in the herbal world. And states that it reads like the ramblings of a drunk.
Oh my God, no, not Nicholas Culpepper.
I know. Culpepper biographer Benjamin Woolley suggests that the piece may be an allegory. Allegory, thank you, about bitterness, as Culpepper had spent his life fighting the establishment and had been imprisoned and seriously wounded in battle as a result. So there may be a reason that it's like that. But dude, that is savage. To write something and then have one say like, oh, this is a stream of consciousness. It reads like the ramblings of a drunk.
Yeah.
If someone said that about something I wrote, I would lock myself away in a room with lead paint and never come out.
Oh my God.
You said that first. Do you remember when you said way early on, you said something about like just locking yourself away to die of lead poisoning.
Did I?
You did. I think you were talking very much about something in a Victorian sense, but you said it.
I feel like, yeah, that was, am I thinking of maybe, is it Flowers in the Attic? Might be what I'm thinking about. Jeez. There's a book involving that.
I was thinking of Flowers for Algernon, and I got really sad.
Have you read that?
Yes, I have.
I never have.
Oh, it's sad. You ever seen the Always Sunny episode based on it, where Charlie takes the placebo and he thinks he gets really smart, but everything he's saying is just nothing?
No.
Oh, okay. Well. So, mundane. Here's some mundane stuff. As stated, wormwood is a primary ingredient in many deworming treatments. The plant itself also carries insecticidal properties. Chickens will naturally just kind of hang out under it and take their little dirt baths under it.
Cute.
And they seem to just sort of seek. They like to hang out with wormwood because they seem to instinctually seek that anti-flea, anti-lice, mm-hmm, mite action that it has. So I've seen that listed on many like short lists of best plants for you to put with your farm animals. Planted in a garden, wormwood actually keeps away bugs that might eat up your plants. They don't want to be near the worm because it's bitter. It's unpleasant. So if you can kind of make a little perimeter of wormwood, you're less likely to have those little dudes that just snack up all your leaves. In a magical sense. Now, I did leave out a lot of the taking internally things and things that people use this for, because I'm not really trying to go there. Yeah. Because there are other things. If you've got an upset stomach, peppermint maybe. You know?
Almost certainly won't poison you.
Yeah, something that there's not like a real big question mark next to. Mm-hmm. But magically, wormwood shares so many properties with mugwort. They seem to be sort of, they go hand in hand. They're sisters in the magical world. When you combine the two, it's said to make a direct line to spirit.
Oh.
The same is said for combining wormwood and sandalwood. So I imagine the three together.
Oh my.
You just couldn't even handle it. It'll be like that moment. You'll just see, it'll be like when Simba comes across Mufasa. If you put all those things together, you're just going to have like this massive moment with spirit.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. I didn't tell you the other night, the night before last, I watched both it and Simba's Pride consecutively.
Did you?
It was great.
Okay, here's the thing. Isn't The Lion King a lot, like, so much shorter than you remember it being?
All of those are, because here's the thing, you know, because Hunter's been working nights, so it's just been me here. And so I've just been like, and it cracks me up too, because like, and I guess we'll, like, so Rustin gave me his Disney Plus login because he's like really, really fixated on me watching The Mandalorian and WandaVision. And so he was like, and I've been cracking up so consistently because he gave it to me for that reason. And all I know, he can see what I've been watching. Let me tell you what I've watched since he's given it to me. Lion King, Lion King, Simba's Pride, Aladdin, A Bug's Life, and Moana.
What a slap in the face. Can you imagine if you gave me your login, or like you gave me something and you were like, here, watch, I don't know, something you're dying for me to, like Letterkenny, you know? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I use your shit and you get on there and it's just like a bunch of drag race.
It's just like, man, I just, yeah, it is. It cracks me up. It's like, oh, all those things that you wanted me to watch. No, I'm going to watch shit I've already watched a million times.
A million times since I was a child, and also a lot of it. So, you know, I have the fucking time to watch.
Dude, I almost forgot all, really, I had forgotten all of A Bug's Life. I didn't watch that one very much growing up because, you know, I didn't have it on VHS, but like, I liked it. It's good.
So, you know that phenomenon where two movies come out at the same time and they're
it
very
and
similar?
Ants.
It and Ants. And here's the thing. I'm team Ants. I'm an Ants girl.
I'm team Ants. Yeah.
Are you?
Oh, big time.
Yes. I'm so happy about that. And I Bug's Life, that's cute or whatever. But I thought Ants was fucking hilarious and kind of grown up. And
yeah, it was a bit more, it was like the more teen version, I guess. Yeah. And like Bug's Life was more kind of preteenish. But it was good. I like the textures. It has like good, like the seeds and like everything. Like, I just really like that part about A Bug's Life. But I barely remembered it at all, like hardly. Oh, and Aladdin. I forgot Aladdin. Aladdin. That was it last night. It was Aladdin, Bug's Life, and then Moana.
Did you fall in love with Jafar like I do every time I watch that movie?
No.
Oh, I love him.
But I was impressed by his powerful upper lip.
That 90-degree angle on that lip.
It's a statement.
Oh, boy. Whoa, that's a thing I forgot about. That's a movie on its own, Jafar's upper lip. Okay, here, I have a few more things. You can use wormwood. You can use wormwood when you would like to call on the spirit of Jafar's upper lip for protection. No. Okay, you can use wormwood to call on spirit. You can use it when looking for protection, to increase your physical power, a casual exorcism, binding, and uncrossing are some uses that you can use wormwood for. Just keep in mind, if you are burning wormwood, if you do combine it with any of those other things, or you make a bundle or whatever, make sure to do so outside, as it can be harmful to just sit there and breathe it in and out all the time, inhale it. Also, becoming a stranger reoccurring theme than exorcism, because I'm used to that now. Every time a plant's like, I help with an exorcism, I'm like, yeah, fucking, of course you do.
Yeah, who fucking doesn't?
Who cares? You know, but so what's stranger than that is this is another addition for the safe travel charm. So many things are popping up randomly, just be like, this is good for safe travel, that it's disproportionate to all of the other things. And I'm like, why is this a special? I guess maybe back in the day you probably wanted protection to travel more, but so yeah, throw that in the bag with all the other shit.
There you go.
And to make your own anointing oil out of wormwood, again, don't use topically, do not ingest, steep some wormwood leaves and flowers, if you'd like, in an oil for a few weeks. I personally would use this to aid in divination by anointing my divination tools and my hands, like my palms possibly, before doing any talking to ghosts, is how I would use that. So a shorty, a sweetie, a little bit of a poisonous bitch, that's wormwood.
I like it. Nice, yeah, complex individual.
There's a lot going on there.
Find mine.
Please don't suck on it.
Yeah, don't suck on it. Don't let your cat suck on it either.
No.
Or your bird or whatever it is you have.
Don't let your cat suck on your bird is what I heard.
How are we going to get the mental health in check?
Oh, my goodness. That's always so important. Personally, I like to keep my mental health in check by using BetterHelp Online Counseling Services. BetterHelp Online Counseling Services will connect you with a professional, licensed therapist.
And the good thing about BetterHelp, too, is that if you live in maybe a rural area or a smaller town kind of area that might not have a whole bunch of different specific specialties, BetterHelp.com, since it is now global, can put you with a therapist that can really understand you and the situation that you're in.
And if you do happen to find that you're not jiving with your therapist, maybe they don't have a ton of experience in what you want to talk about, there is no issue to change therapists. They make it quick, clean, and easy.
One thing that we like to touch on, because it's very important right now, of course, BetterHelp is all online. So you don't have to leave the comforts of your home. You don't have to sit in a terrible, terrible waiting room. Every session that you have is private, confidential, and can be done in your home.
You can head over to betterhelp.com/witch to take the questionnaire and get matched up with your therapist and start talking, listen, in under 24 hours. If I wanted to make an appointment at a physical office, it might be a month before I get in.
And listen, if you don't believe us, you can go over to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com, and read testimonials every day from people who are sharing their positive experiences with BetterHelp.
If you use the code WITCH, you get your first month 10% off.
One more time, that is BetterHelp.com/WITCH to get 10% off your first month with BetterHelp. And so I'm going to roll into Copper here. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
So Copper is not only our first metal, it's our first element. Like it is metal. Like a chemical element. The symbol is Cu, and that's from the Latin cuprum. And it is atomic number 29, located on the periodic table. It is smack dab right between nickel and zinc.
I always remembered that one. You know, when you have to memorize the table in school,
mm-hmm.
That was the easy one because it was like, see you later, Copper.
Yeah, like that one and AU. I always remember like AU. Like I was able to remember that one.
AU, yeah.
And I remember lead is plum bum or something like that, which is why I always say that instead of a plum bob.
I love it when you say plum bum.
And so... What makes copper really interesting, as well as what helped kind of solidify its place in history as, you know, alongside humankind, is that it's one of the few metals that occurs just in nature in a form you can just dig up and use. It's another term for that is native metals. So The largest chunk ever of this elemental copper, this native copper, raw copper, was 420, nice, tons. Oh, my.
Oh, sorry. It was the delivery for me.
This element, this pre-made, pretty much ready to go element metal was really important for ancient civilizations. So especially before the development of metallurgy and other later on technologies like that, you could literally just dig it up and do shit with it. So part of that is because it's pretty malleable. And I'll explain why that is here in a little bit. But primitive tools were able to shape it with somewhat ease. And actually the first documented use of man manipulating copper, I believe it was copper beads. And it was 8,000 BC. So it makes it the first metal that humans manipulated. So, and there's some other firsts for humans as well with copper. So in 5000 BC, it was the first metal to ever be smelted from sulfide ores. 4000 BC, it was the first metal to be casted into a desired shape using a mold. And 3500 BC, it was the first metal to purposely be mixed or alloyed with another metal, in this case being tin, which created bronze, thus completely changing history forever and ushering in the Bronze Age, which let in harder weapons for us to kill each other with and better tools to build with.
One more time.
You know, harder weapons to kill each other with.
Dude, I'm sorry. I was sitting here just shaking that entire time until it finally escaped as a weed. Okay.
So let's talk about copper in history. So Romans used copper a lot. And it came from Cyprus, this place called Cyprus. That's where it was mined from. And the location is actually... is actually where the metal gets its name. So because the origin of the name, so here we got, we have the like Roman or Latin term, fucking Roman, I think. I don't know. As Cyprium, and that translates to metal of Cyprus, later corrupted.
On the nose.
Yeah, it's later changed to cuprum instead of like cyprium, I guess, or however, cyprium, cuprum. Is what it came to. And that was Latin. And then
Cooper.
Like copper was the old English. And then copper with two P's, as we now know, it first started showing up around 1530.
Bradley Copper Cooper.
Oh, Copper Cooper. That's fun.
Copper Cooper.
So copper, it has been used in building construction for so long, for such a long time. You know, such as roofs or domes, like big, like shiny copper domes on top of things, as well as just like decorative purpose, dating back thousands upon thousands of years. It's just ingrained in human civilization, and it's actually in our bodies. That's one interesting thing about copper. So we do have metals that occur in our body, and copper is actually an essential one to living organisms. So it like
that
as a
blood
trace
tastes like pennies.
Well, I think that's the high iron
that's
content.
Iron. Never mind. Okay, go on.
But it is important as a trace dietary mineral. Because it's found in the bones, muscles, as well as the liver. And so the adult body contains between 1.4 and 2.1 milligrams of copper per kilogram of body weight. So I did some math here.
The
I figured
adult
this
body.
Out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, we got like a whole chunk of, tell us how, oh, tell me how it much is, we're worth.
Okay. So here we go. So this is my body, right? And I was just kind of using some, so I weigh roughly 130 pounds and that's about 59 kilograms. And you multiply that. And so I took the average between like 1.4 and 2.1, you know, because that's like a big gap. So I got the average of that and then turned it to ounces. And it is a whopping 0.003 ounces of copper in my body.
Okay. So now what you need to look up is how much copper goes for and how much money that would be.
Yeah. Not much. Some good, can you imagine if you could just distill it? And it's just some nasty body copper. It's just like here.
Yeah. Ew. Nasty body copper is my new band name.
So there are copper salts, which are really common compounds, and they impart a like pigments, like such as blue and green, and minerals such as azurite, malachite, and turquoise. So that's where the pigment comes from. And also they have historically been used as pigments. Copper, silver, and gold are in group 11 of the periodic table.
Oh.
So I am taking this directly, okay, from Wikipedia here. because I don't know what this is. So, so they're in group 11 of the periodic table. So these three metals have one S orbital electron on top of a filled D electron shell and are characterized by high ductility and electrical and thermal conductivity. So to break that down, that's why copper is an amazing conductor of electricity. It's used in electrical wiring all over the world. It has a low resistivity, which means that the metal, you know, that's like the measurement of metal's resistance to conduction. And it's like super low. It's like just flow right through me. It's all about the electricity. The softness of copper aids in this. And it's another reason why it's a reason that it's a good thermal conductor as well. So it's just like a fucking conductor. So that said, even though it's 10,000 years that humans have been using it, 95% of all copper ever mined and used has been extracted since 1900. So that's when shit took off. So more than half of that has been extracted. Has been extracted in like the last 25 years, apparently. So like it has really, really, really amped up. And so like with a lot of resources on the earth, there's a lot of it, you know, like there's copper and the amount in the earth is ridiculous. 10 to the 14 tons in just the top kilometer of Earth's crust, which at the use, at the rate we use it is like 5 million years worth, which I was like, oh yeah, that's good. That's nice. But here's a problem with that. Only a very small amount of that is actually like economically usable to, but like to where like our technologies can extract it and it would still be worth anything. So estimates of copper reserves that are like still left are only, some of them only vary like 25 to 60 years, depending on kind of like assumptions of like growth rate, how much we keep using. And because of this, which this is one good thing, because I hate reading stuff like that towards like, God, we are just fucking ourselves in every way nowadays. Because of this, so recycling is a huge deal in the copper industry. So copper scrapping is a profitable business model. And it's also why people like fucking steal people's copper wiring and pipes, you know, and whatnot to sell. So the, because of this though, like the future of copper is kind of being like looked at right now, like debated over what's going to happen with it. But one good thing is that when it is recycled, it doesn't lose any quality at all. It's one of the most recycled things on earth. And like, amazingly, 80% of copper ever mined, like ever mined, is still in use today. So either in like its original state or recycled into something new. So it is heavily recycled, which is nice.
Yeah, that's really good. Because it always stresses me out hearing like how much of something we've taken.
Yeah, yeah,
It just really, really stresses me out. So it's nice to know that it's still just kind of kicking around.
Yeah. So let's hop into the metaphys. So as you know, talked about, as I mentioned earlier, it's a big time conductor of energy, you know, thermal energy, electric energy. And this makes it useful for metaphysical work as well. So it really aids in the amplification of it, which I particularly like now that I know that, you know, like it makes me view my like electroformed copper jewelry or even my wrapped copper pieces a little bit differently. You know, it's like,
oh yeah,
what if it, you know, it's amplifying like that natural effect coming from the crystal. Like they work together like that. So this conduction of energy can also aid in the balancing of energy centers or your chakras. Can, you know, and, or you can like following your meridians or your energy lines, things like that to clear and reestablish them kind of properly moving through the body if they've gotten out of whack, doing some energy healing type stuff. It's a really popular health charm. Like, I mean, you know, like the bracelets or like the socks, you know?
Yeah.
You see those a lot. And I feel like that really, really got super like a big deal, like the past 10, 15 years or so. Yeah. I'm uncertain about it, you know, like the effect of those. I know some people swear by them.
Yeah.
I'm uncertain about it. And like, that's my main stance. Like, I'm not judging if it like works for you. I just really don't know, you know, I mean, and it, I could reason with it, you know, I suppose like it's a strong conductor and, you know, I believe in energies. And so, you know, by nature,
it's just always saying,
I just get a little nervous when metaphysical properties of things are used as an only treatment for real medical issues. And so that's where a lot of my skepticism comes from. But you know, if it's just something that you add in, you know, and you think it helps, you know, it's just something in your little tool chest. Hey, more power to you.
Little tool chest,
you know, internally it's important for us, as like a micronutrient, and research is kind of steadily more and more pointing in this direction. So it's found, in like trace amounts, in, grains, certain nuts, such as Brazil nuts and cashews, certain meats, such as liver and kidney, shellfish, legumes. Oh, man, I'll fuck with liver pate. Fuck.
Are you serious?
Oh, baby. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever had liver pate?
No, but I've had liver. Well, I mean, I've smelled liver and it's just blood.
It's different. It's different in pate form. It's just... Okay. So delicious.
Sure.
Shellfish, legumes such as like peas and beans and seeds. So apparently dark chocolate as well has a pretty good amount of copper in there. So I like to include that because in my opinion and just kind of my experience, if you can get nutrients from food, like of course vitamins are great and whatnot, but like absorption and whatnot, usually implementing things like that actually into your diet just helps. And so there's some little things, you know, you can do. So it's important to note, however, that with a lot of things involving nutrition, it's good to be, you know, to be balanced and whatnot. You can have too much of a good thing. So I was reading up on this. This was from copperalliance.org.uk.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I just thought this was really interesting because I really... I've always been fascinated with nutrition and like just the balances of, you know, inputs that you put in your body and how they interact. And so for copper, zinc, and iron, these are all really important metals present in our bodies and as well as required nutrition. And from what I was reading, they almost kind of need to be consumed as like a trio because like too much zinc can like make it to where copper can't absorb as well. And without copper, iron can't be converted to like the more effective form of iron.
So it's just the triforce.
Yeah. And so it's like copper, you know, and then you need copper for iron because it's necessary to transport iron to and from the tissues. You know, it's like, that's just really interesting. So, you know, it's just, that's just, I guess, me spewing my nutrition love in here. I was just like, oh, that's interesting. I'm going to slip that in here, even though it's not just really that.
Health.
Yeah. You know. I just had to do it. So, you know, however, with all things, look into it yourself. You know, it's important. It's your body and whatnot. But typically, you know, we do need these trace metals. You know, like if you get low in iron, you can start having things like anemia, things like that, you know. And so just being able to be cognizant of what is in what, I think, is helpful. You know, if you just try to make sure you're getting your nutrients and you know that they, like it's in Brazil nuts, like there you go or whatever, you know, and it's like, oh, you know, I can get copper from that. And it's just good knowledge to have.
Okay.
What? This is my life. Yeah. This is what I do.
I love this glimpse into.
So something that it has long been associated with, and I saw this on multiple places, is luck. However, I couldn't really figure out why that originated or where it came from. So also, while it can be used to balance all chakras, it's really tied to the root, like the root specifically. And that makes sense to me, you know, especially being, it can, you know, it can be used in this pure state, like directly dug out of the earth. And it's like literally in our bodies, you know, it just feels like it has that very kind of earthy connection. I saw that it can be a really good tool for psychic communication, mainly because it is such an intense conductor. It can aid in the transference of energy from our world, like through the veil, and kind of aiding in communication and kind of strengthening that connection and, you know, both parties on either side to be able to clearly communicate. I really am drawn to copper. I always have been. I love copper. A lot of my main like pieces that I have are copper. And it doesn't irritate my skin like a lot of metals do. And I like that. I just feel it, I don't know, it suits me. It fits kind of my energy well. And being like me being just like one big root chakra, I guess that makes sense. You know, it just kind of ties in.
Yeah, you are one big root chakra.
You know. So there's more to copper, honestly. Like there's so much like that you could talk about copper with, you know, all the different health benefits that people use it for, or whatever. And there's a lot, but we don't, you know, that I just like, this is a good little summary, a little taster of copper, you know, if you will.
A little and taste of copper.
A little taste. Yeah. A little sampler. Yeah.
Did they not say that blood tastes like copper? There's a blood tie-in here somewhere.
Okay. I'm glad you said that because I didn't write it down. I don't. It's not really about taste, but it is really tied to circulation. So yeah, like wearing the bracelets or having like the copper lined or like copper fiber like compression socks and whatnot are supposed to aid in circulation. I also saw it can help people with like rheumatism. Things like that. I don't really know how that would work, but it's out there. People use
it. I remember when you were a kid, well, I guess when we were all kids, everyone in the world, you and Russ both got nosebleeds like crazy. And I don't remember why. I guess I had read it or heard it somewhere. Russ was having a nosebleed, and I'm sure this was coincidence. Maybe not, but he was having a nosebleed and he was like, oh, and I was like, wait, I read that you should put something copper on the back of your neck. Don't know where that came from. But he picked up like this copper pot that your mom had, this decorational copper pot, and he slammed it to the back of his neck and just, like, immediately his nose stopped bleeding.
Interesting.
So for the longest time, I was like, that's it. That's the cure.
That's the ticket. That's the
ticket. How can I make $1 million off of this? How come no one's capitalizing?
Wow. Well, there you go. But
I'm sure he just shoved it to his neck with such force that it just cut the flow off for a minute. Woof. Wow. Copper. Listen, let's all welcome in our very first element or mineral. What is it?
Metal
compound
element
metal.
Both
metal.
¿Por qué no las dos? What? It's the only Spanish phrase that I know. And every now and again, it comes up to where I can slip it in, and it's stupid and shoehorned, but it feels so good on my tongue that I do it.
Oh man, it's really caught me off guard every single time you've done it.
It's cracking me up.
Oh, because I've never heard you speak any other like. Wow. Okay. Well, with that, what do you think? How do you say beautiful review footage in Spanish? Somebody let us know. How do you say beautiful review footage in any language? Let us know, especially if that language is your like mother tongue. I would love to hear it. Here we go.
Your milk tongue.
Gross. That is so gross to me.
I love it.
It's grody to me. Milk tongue.
Yeah.
Because it makes me think of booby milk.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, nothing's wrong with that, but get it off your tongue. Swallow it or don't, but don't just let it sit on your tongue. Nasty baby dumb shit. Swallow it. Today's review footage comes to us from Loop Bloop.
Cute.
Loop Bloop says, I love both of y'all. I found you a couple days ago and I'm on episode 11 right now.
Oh.
And I love the energy. I don't know what accent this is, but it's not Texan.
It's a conglomerate.
You make it easier to learn the ropes for witchy things. Love from Colorado. Hey. So it's a Coloradan accent.
That's what they all sound like.
That's how it goes. Well, dude, we made it through the episode without losing power or getting blizzard in. Snowblowed.
Yeah. We didn't get snowblowed.
Damn.
A snowblow didn't hit us. I'm excited to go down there and cut that white bread open and slather some fucking jam.
What did you say? I can smell both of them.
I can smell both of them.
Well, if you would like to smell both of us and advertise with the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour, hit us up on our email address, wbahpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We have an Instagram where Instagem likes to slice open the white bread that he's made from his own personal yeast. Mm-hmm. And he slathers jam on it, but it's not a jam. Yeah. You sniffed it. Our Instagram is at Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. Macy, what about Twitter?
It's like just fucking bitch hour.
Come meet with us over on Facebook at
Witch Amateur Hour.
We have a Patreon if you would like to join us on our 2 monthly live streams.
Yeah.
We also do spells over there. We do blogs and bonus episodes. We got content.
Mm-hmm.
We got content leaking out of every orifice over there. It's patreon.com/wabahpodcast. And the coldest, most snow-blown P.O. Box in Texas lives at
P.O. Box 865, Canton, Texas, 75103.
Beautiful. Hey, she's a beaut.
Yeah.
Macy?
Mm.
I'm glad to hear that you have bread and you have actual hot nutrition. And
hot nutrition.
I want a shirt that says hot nutrition.
Hot nutrition.
Dude. I'm not trying to be crass, but what if we did come out with like an underwear line that just said hot nutrition?
I think that's great.
I love it.
For both.
Yes. Oh, everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Front and back.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Okay. Goodbye, Macy. Please don't freeze to death. Don't become a Macy-sickle.
I won't. I don't know. My mom was like, if we lose power, come up to our place because they have a fireplace.
Yes.
So I won't freeze to death. I'll just be cold and mad.
That's true. And that's why, you know, I want everyone to realize that when we were just like, oh, Macy might lose power, we're being very flippant about it. She lives very close to her mom. So you're safe. You're alive. We're good.
I'll live.
She'll live. Maybe.
Maybe.
But we'll catch you next time on the Witch Bitch Comedy Hour.
Yep.
So, you guys probably noticed that we didn't put an episode out last week. And if you follow us, because we couldn't. If you're on the Facebook coven, then you already were aware. Excuse me. You were already aware. half of the country got fucked by this winter storm last week.
Yeah.
So, And as I read in one article, Texas is ground zero.
Yeah, we got fucked.
I don't know, but we did get fucked.
F'd in the A.
Absolutely. F you in the A. Don't wear a C. And J all over your B's.
Yeah. It's awful. I mean, we just got ramrodded. Work over.
So we're here to we want to tell you our individual experiences, what we went through, and then we can just kind of bitch about it and talk to each other about what we went through. And Macy and I haven't really shared any of this yet.
No, not at all, really. And, you know, and it might sound a little silly to, especially like you Northerners, you know, saying like what we went through after a winter storm. But this was something so, I mean, I've lived here my entire life, you know, 27 years now. And this was not, this is not what happens here, you know. So it was just, there was no level of preparedness. I was particularly unprepared. And, you know, it just was a mess. And all of us, or me and you, and basically everyone in Texas, has a house that's made to let heat out, not keep heat in. Like the whole goal in Texas home building is to reduce heat retention as much as possible because it's hot as balls here in the summertime. And so basically our houses, just the moment the heat turns off, you could basically watch the thermostat drop because that means they're doing their job, you know? And it was just, that's what I think a lot of people up north don't understand. Like Texas homes have a lot of windows, you know, like things like that let heat out. And it's just, it's not the same thing. Like it's basically just wrapping yourself in a hefty bag and laying in the snow and being like, this is good. Like they're not good enough.
Yeah. Texas homes are meant to keep the rain off of you. And
yeah. And keep you cool. You know?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Keep you in the shade. I also want to address something that I saw, and I don't know if this was on our Facebook page or they were like, hey, I kind of want to address some of the memes that have been going on here. And they're like, I think they're funny. I can have a laugh, you know, but they were like, let me make it perfectly clear. People are dying. Like yeah. People die.
Yeah. And I don't even think we know the scope of how many yet.
Right. People my own personal neighborhood, people were going to the hospital, and we'll get more into that later. But somebody was like, there's like funny, haha, Southerners can't handle the cold, you know, just like we do to them. Like, oh, you think 95 is hot?
Playful jabbing.
Yeah, and that's fine. And it's all a relative, you know, everything is relative. So yeah, that was really cold for us. And yeah, up north, they got a lot more, well, I don't want to disparage what they went through because I believe it was also really bad up there. But we know there are places that regularly get what we got. However, it is not the weather that was the problem for me. It was everything that happened at the same time the weather came. We're not set up for this. Our houses aren't made for it. Nobody keeps firewood and shit like that. So, you know, I think that while it's kind of funny to watch other people be like, I don't understand why Texas was bitching, I also think it's important that we talk a little bit about it to make it clear that this was very serious.
It bothered me a lot. Like and maybe this is just my own ignorance, you know, living in Texas, and Texas has its own, you know, stigma. And, you know, people love to like poke fun at Texas. And I get it. I do too. But this storm just brought out all of the people who want Texas to burn. And I didn't realize how serious the hatred for Texans is. Like, and part of this, part of the problem was I was on Reddit. And, you know, but I mean, it was just basic.
First mistake.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I don't know. It was just, there were so many comments just basically like, well, Texas made their own bed. Now they get to fucking deal with it. You know, pretty much just like, if they can't fucking get through a freeze, then I don't know what to tell them. They did this to themselves. And it's like, okay, there are millions and millions, tens of millions of people in Texas. First of all, fuck you. And second, what really happened is not in a lot of people's control really at all. You know, like when we talk about the rolling blackouts and shit, nothing we could have, we had no control over that. Nobody could have imagined that. The general populace was not aware that this could happen. It doesn't matter your political party, whatever you vote. We didn't know that this was going to happen. You know, like, fuck off.
No, that's what makes me mad is this: Texans made their bed. No, Texans did not make their bed. Texans did the best they could. They didn't make their beds. Our beds were made for us, and we kind of had to endure it. And admittedly, as we talked about earlier in this episode, we have been told a lot of times this past winter that it was going to snow and that it was going to get bad. And then it never did. So there was a little bit of doubt of, it'll be fine, you know. And then when we're looking at the weather, we're like, oh, 2 days of snow and like a week of it being freezing. Wow. Not really knowing the reality of that situation.
Yeah, I didn't believe
it. We don't know what it's like. We don't know what it's like to not have power. I'll tell you, like, and again, when we get into our individual stories, I had no idea how cold it would get inside of a house without power and how quick. Even with us having a fireplace, even with us having blankets and stuff like that, I didn't know how scary it was going to get and how fast. Also, I would like to say those blackouts were not rolling blackouts.
No, they were not. They were outages for very long periods of time.
Yeah. And there was just sort of no addressing it, you know, and I don't want to get like too on to specifics, you know, but power companies just didn't say anything. They were like, oh, we're going to have rolling blackouts. This area should expect power around this time. And then you didn't hear from them for 3, 4, 5, 13 hours. We didn't have power here in my home, in my neighborhood for over 24 hours.
Yeah, y'all were out for a very, very long time.
And then our internet was fucked even after that, which I guess, honestly, I can't complain because once the power comes back, we didn't die. Yeah. But anyway, what do you think about, let's tail our tails.
Sure. I like that.
What was your first uh-oh moment?
My first uh-oh, as you know, was realizing that we had no secondary heat in our house because I knew the power was going to go out. Because like, here's the thing. The weather said, yeah, because at first it was ice, you know, it was an ice storm. And then, you know, that it iced for 4 days and then snow hit. And so the ice storm hit and we didn't lose power or anything like that. And I was like, well, fuck, if we're not going to lose it for ice, like, fuck, we're all right. You know, this is okay, you know, because ice will do it. But the thing is that I just didn't ever really, because here's in Texas, every time it snows, it's gone in 12 to 24 hours. We never get a day of snow and then it's freezing the day after. It's gone. And you don't worry about it. If you lose power, big deal. Yeah, if it even sticks, because the ground's usually too warm, but we had ice under it. And so it was like, you know, I was like, yeah, it's probably going to get the ice. You know, I'm used to ice in Texas. We all are. That's what you get in Texas. You get ice. And, you know, I didn't expect it because the weather is always wrong. I mean, and there's multiple times a year usually to be like, oh, there might be snow. And then not to mention, it only said 3 to 4 inches. And we got 12. We got 12 goddamn inches of snow. I measured. And
damn,
it was just, so anyway, Monday morning rolls around. And I it's 5 a.m. and I kind of wake up and it just powers off. And I'm just like, fuck. But the problem was, is before that, like I got a taste of how serious this was because our heater, the power was clicking on and off a million times during one of the ice storm nights. And it flipped a breaker for the heater. And so our heat didn't work all night long. And I woke up and it was almost in the 30s in our house in one night. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, and we weren't even into the negatives yet. Like, it was still like in the 20s outside or like the teens, you know? And I was like, this is a problem. And so then it was just almost like a fucking cartoon. And so I like walk out, I'm like, I got to check the gas tank. Fuck. I don't even know if I got to go look, we got to hook up the heater. You know, I was like, I think we still have it. And so we had a gas heater, you know, I was like, then we'll be fine. No big deal. You know? So I go out and check the gas and it is so far comedically on zero, on empty. Like, it was just a slap in the face. Like, the needle was past empty. And I cracked open because it was frozen solid. I mean, literally, I had to get a screwdriver and break the gas lid off. I was so angry. And then I just hold the lid open. And I might have stayed there for 5 minutes. I don't know. But I'm just looking at this gas gauge just like, for real, though. Like, nothing. Like, not even like a squirt of gas. Like, we're out. And so I called the gas company and pretty much they're just like, you fucking idiot. And so I'm like, all right, we're just going to freeze, you know? And all this time Hunter's working nights. He worked his last night. He's finally done as of today. Like, I got some wine and he got some beer and we're going to celebrate this being officially over. And so he's like working nights this whole time. And the second night rolls around and it is in the 30s inside of the house. So I pack up a bag and go to my mom's because she at least has a gas fireplace. Because what was happening was the power would be off for 8 to 6 hours in the beginning and you'd get 20 minutes of it on. So not enough to heat your house, but just fast enough to boil some water, maybe take like a whore bath real quick, like make some coffee or some instant mashed potatoes on the stove, like whatever you could do in that 20 minutes. And it might not even be 20 minutes. You might just get 10. And the whole time you're doing it, the whole time you're cooking or trying to wash up with, you're just like, it's going to go out at any second. I know it.
You're sweating the whole time.
It was so stressful. And you just don't know how long you're going to get. And, you know, we're on a well, a deep well. And so when the power goes out, the water is out. No water. So you have to plan ahead for that, you know. But it was just so stressful. And so I go to my mom's because first I have to tell you about the chickens. I told you about the chickens, but I have to tell you all about the chickens. So I realized, like, we get 12 inches of snow, right? So I wake up that morning. This is Monday morning of the snowstorm, I think, I don't even remember. But the days of this past week blurred together. It was the longest week of my life. So I'm like, fuck.
So blurry.
We got a shit pile of snow. I got to go check on these birds. So I walk out, and it is so hard to walk in snow, first of all. I've never had snow that was almost up to my knees in the drifts. And I was walking in my boots, like trudging in almost knee high snow, just like, damn it, this is different, you know? And so
that's something I didn't even think about. That's something I didn't even think about is how you live in sort of the bottom of, you live in like a valley almost.
Yes. Like a hollow.
Higher grounds. So, again, yeah, that's probably why it's just all blowing into this bowl.
Yeah, we got fucked. And so these birds, I walk out to the chicken pen and it is the saddest thing. Like it is like fucking Disney Pixar level sad, these birds. Like they're all, and so it was like a serious snow. It wasn't like a gentle snowstorm. And like, even though they're covered and they live under, like they have a really secure location, the snow must have snowed sideways because these birds were covered in snow. Their whole pen was full of snow and they're sitting there literally shivering from what I could see 10 feet away. All of these little tiny birds, these little tiny, not normal sized birds have like one leg under their wing and they are just visibly shaking and they won't move. And they're just like, I thought they were, one of them was going to be dead, but they were all somehow alive, but they were frozen solid. And so I get in there and I start trying to make them move around. You know, I'm like, and they won't move. They're so cold. And so I'm like, all right, mother of God, I'm going to have to move these birds. And so at this point, I wasn't really thinking as clearly as I should have been. I was really, really thrown off by all of the snow and the cold and my house being so cold. And I made this as difficult as I possibly could have in hindsight. Like I've thought back on it and I'm like, I don't know why I did this. I don't know. And so even though hanging on the wall right next to me was a giant fishing net that we use to catch the chickens that can fly, I caught them all by hand. These lightning fast, teeny tiny birds. And so I'm trying to catch all these chickens and they're like the tiny ones and they can fly. And I'm trying to catch them all. And I can't tell you how many times I like went to grab one and then stood up and like smacked my head on one of their roosts. It was like stupid. And like, I'm amazed I didn't wake Hunter up because I had multiple moments of just like dropping my arms and lifting my head up and just roaring at the sky in rage at the difficulty of this situation. And so the dog kennel was out in the snow. I had to shake 12 inches of snow out of it first and was already mad. So I dragged the dog kennel in and put shavings in it and shit. And so I have to, I'm catching all these birds, which was really funny, dude. There were two chickens. I don't know for sure which ones it was, but by the shock of me picking them up and putting them in the crate made them immediately lay an egg. And it really cracked me up.
I probably just, would too.
Yeah. Yeah, I tossed him in there and like turned around and then turned back and there's just an egg in the cage. Like it was just really funny. That happened twice. And so I get 11 of them. There's 12 birds and I get 11 of them in the cage and they're fine, you know, but there's this one motherfucking bird. And she is always a problem. She's the smallest and she's the fastest and she's the same color as the shavings. And it's just a trifecta from hell. She's just, it's awful. And it took me 20 minutes fumbling around after this bird, which by this point she was warmed up. She was fast. Like I'd caught all the other ones. Her legs were, her blood was moving. She was ready to evade me. And
this is a cartoon.
It was awful. And so, yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I like hit my head on shit or like tripped on shit. And all the while the chickens are like in the middle in the cage, just like looking at us. And I was like, there was like a, probably, a, I can't tell you how many minutes I just followed her in a circle around the cage, trying to get her to fuck up somehow. It was awful. So I wound up catching this bird, put him in the cage. And then I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do here because this cage is like, it's huge. It's like a crate for like a big ass dog, like a Rottweiler. It's that big because I've got it for both corgis. Like both corgis can come and it's huge and it's heavy and it had 12 goddamn chickens in it. And I was looking at the cage and looking at the house, the back porch, and it's about 100 yards away. You know how far the coop is from, and you got to go all the way around to the porch. And I was looking at that with 12 inches of snow. And I was just like, how in holy hell am I going to get this on the porch? I don't know what to do here. And I couldn't wake Hunter up. Like I could have, but I didn't want to.
A wagon? You could, I mean.
I'm sure there were 80,000 different things I could have done better. Honestly, I was just not thinking. And so I just grab this cage and I carry it like side slinging. I drag it, but not drag it because it couldn't drag through the snow. But like it was awful. And I slug this cage all the way onto the house. During the process of which I throw my like triple disc disease out. So I was down for a day after this with that on top of everything else because I had to like yank this cage all the way to the porch and like wrap them in a tarp and all of this bullshit. And it was so hard. And so I wrapped them all up. They're all fucking alive, but there's no heat. I can't put a heater on them, but they start trying to come back. And all the while, I forgot to include, I'm stressed as shit because the Sunday night, we knew the storm was coming and I fed all the animals and Dante has to eat outside because that's just World War III if he eats in the house when the dogs are eating. And so I was like, all right, he's going to eat and I'm going to grab him and I'm going to put him up. And so I feed him and like, he's gone. He just disappears. And he vanished. And so I wake up on Monday morning, there's 12 inches of snow and Dante is missing and there's no paw prints. Like he has not been home. That night he has been out and he got trapped somewhere outside. So I'm freaking out about Dante and there's all these goddamn chickens. I move all the chickens. And then like Hunter wakes up so confused and delirious as to why it's freezing in the house. Like, cause he's working nights already and he's just like a mental soup at this point. And so he wakes up and he is just like, what is happening? Like, how is it so cold, you know? And so we're just like, I don't really know what to do with this situation. So I just start packing a bag because he had to go to work, you know, he was going to be gone. And I was like, I'm going to go with to stay at mom's. I just can't handle sleeping in a 30 degree house. I will not make it, you know, and I was by myself. Like, and so I was just like, I might die in my sleep just out of sheer stress of the situation. Yeah. That my house is 30 degrees.
Yeah. That's a real fear.
It was awful. And, you know, I had blankets and blankets. It just doesn't matter. It's so weird. The difference, because I've camped in really cold weather, but the cold inside of a house is different. It's weird. It's still. Well, and it's almost damp feeling all of the time. It's awful.
I thought about that. I was like, I have camped in weather in the teens. I have camped in snow. I have like really, really cold. And I was thinking, what's the difference? Like I have all the amenities here at my house that I would have camping. But then you kind of think, well, if you go camping, you're kind of bundled up. Like you've got all of your shit ready. You have all the supplies you need. You've got a fire going. You're just prepared. If you're in your own home, you're sort of like, I'm in my home. I'm untouchable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just very invasive and unexpected. And so I go up to my mom's and she has a gas fireplace, which was just like heaven. I stood in front of this fireplace for so long. And really,
with your back to it like you do?
Oh, yeah, right up on it. And to be honest, most of the worst for me at that point was over. I got to go to a warm place And, you know, it was tough because I didn't sleep for like the night that I got cold in my house and then two nights after, because I'm used to like Hunter and me sleep in total silence. We don't have like a noisemaker. We don't have a TV in the bedroom at all. Like we sleep in dark silence. And so in order to stay warm, I had to sleep up in the loft in my mom's living room, which is just the center of the house. There's dogs, you know, like it's never really quiet. So I just did not sleep for 3 days. So that was really the worst of it for me. And I'm very fortunate in that regard. You know, I had to put a million layers of clothes on every day, multiple times a day to go deal with the birds and all of that shit, which the layers are really inconvenient. Like, fuck living in a cold place for the reason of every time you have to go in and outside, you have to put 18 layers of clothes on. I hated it. I hated it so much.
That was a pain in the ass. Yeah.
Hated it. It was so stupid. And so anyway, that was really... most of the worst for me was the first 2 days of the storm when I was at my house and I didn't go away yet because I thought we would get better. And then I was like, oh no, we're like fucked for days after this, you know? So mainly the dealing with the birds and, you know, Dante missing. Dante came back after 3 days. I don't know where he was, but he is such a unit of an animal. He just was back on the porch.
I love how we forgot to mention that Dante was okay. And I know someone out there was just like, okay, but what about the cat?
What about the cat? Yeah, yeah. No, it was just the worst part of it for me was the unending cold. Because even at my mom's place with a fireplace, the house was cold. It just was cold. It was -2 degrees outside. A single fireplace cannot warm a house like that. It just can't. Yeah. So that was the worst for me. But overall, I'm fortunate. You know, like it sucked and it was cold, really fucking cold, but it ended quicker for me than like it started earlier and ended early, if that makes sense for me.
Yeah. And that's another thing I want to kind of put some emphasis on is how lucky you and I both were. We have mm-hmm. homes, we have places to go, we had ways to kind of get through this. And I just kept thinking about people who didn't, and not even just people. I mean, people first, but also about the wildlife. And this is a little bit sad, so yeah, I'm gonna breeze over it. But if you're offended by like animal, like, you know, sad animal stuff, skip ahead a little bit. But like I had said in the episode earlier, we saw some little birds trying to get close to the house to get warm. And I went out later and there was a couple that had just passed.
I saw a lot of frozen little birds.
And that's to me is that shows how much we're not, this is not what happens here. Our wildlife can't make it through it, you know? So, we put out a little box with a heat lamp, and birds were coming in and out of it. And I felt so very happy until the power went out, and then I got scared, but I'm hoping that helped a little bit. We get somewhere. But so here, what happened is, you know, of course, we see the warnings and we see, and I'm just thinking, whoa, snow day. Kind of in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, we have a house and we have heat and we have tons of blankets.
Can't be that bad.
You know, and another part of it was like, oh man, I was really worried about Macy and about my parents and about our grandparents and your mom and everybody who's out there in East Texas. Who's kind of out in the country, you know?
See, we were more worried about y'all, like being out there in the city.
and I wasn't, because I was like, we're in the city. I was like, we're gonna probably have power. You know, they're gonna be the first ones to lose stuff. But mm-hmm. I know at one point I went outside and it was just before the snow started to accumulate. So it was coming down, but nothing really was happening. Nothing was going on. And I looked at the thermometer because we have one attached to our grill and it was so cold that the thermometer like went backwards on and it said it was like 400 degrees. It was so cold. It was like working backwards. I was like, oh boy. So I, of course, I get all excited. I'm like, pull out our sweaters. You know, or a sweater, a hoodie. And I'm like, this is nice. And I take a nice hot shower and I listen to some music and I go to bed under my blankets and I wake up at 3 a.m. freezing fucking cold. And I'm like, why did I wake up? Because I've been cold before. Like, I won't wake up typically. But I noticed I was waking up because our power was flicking on and off.
Yeah.
And that was something we had very tentatively, kind of almost in a brush off kind of way, like, ah, you might lose power for a bit. And I was like, eh, whatever. You know, here we don't lose power because of snow. Like you said, we lose power because of tornadoes.
Yeah.
You know, we lose power because ice brought a line down, but we don't just, you know, it doesn't just happen like that. So power was out and I was kind of like, crap, I got an extra blanket, went back to sleep. I ended up sleeping in the next day until like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Just, I think, because I was, you know, when you're so cold, it's just like you're consuming all your energy or something. So I slept super late and I woke up and the power was still out. And I was like, this is spooky. I was like, but I made it through the night and I was under all the blankets and felt fine. So I went out and played in the snow, had a grand old time, came back in, and it was starting to approach the teens. It was getting down to when it was going to be really very cold. So I go to make some tea. And as I'm making tea, I happen to notice that there's a boil notice going on.
Yeah.
Not where I lived yet, but some close areas. And they said, we don't have the power. We don't have what we need to make sure the water is clean. So boil your water before you have it. And I was like, okay, even though it's not technically my area, I'm gonna switch to our emergency bottled water, smart, which I'm glad that we have. And which I actually got before COVID, because I thought that's what was going to do it.
It came in handy. Yeah. I have about 12 gallons of water and I got them back in March and they came in handy.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, sweet. Got to use for this. So I switched over to bottled water and that was chill. And then I started to feel like hungry, you know, it's getting on in the day and I'm like, oh, what am I going to cook? And I start thinking, I'm like, wait, I can't cook dick. You know, just these little trivial things were going on. Oh, what do I do about water? What do I do? We ended up just getting a pan from our cooking stuff and we threw it on our fire. We built a fire in the fireplace and made beans.
Mm-hmm. And
we had beans and bread. And it was, you know, so far it was almost a, I don't want to.
It's still fun at that point.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to diminish the seriousness of the situation, but it was still fun at that point. But then it started to get colder and the sun started to go down. And I started looking at our stash of firewood going, that's not going to last. I was like, what do you do if you don't have firewood right now? What do you do if you don't have gas to just, I mean, I guess you could just burn gas in the fireplace because we were lucky we still had gas. But I was like, what do you do? And then the fire started not being able to heat that much of anywhere. Mm-hmm. It was sort of that thing that if you're an inch too close, it's burning your skin.
Yeah.
And if you're an inch too far away, it's freezing cold. So I, you know, we're huddling right by the fire and we have all of our blankets on. And we had a couple of episodes of No Sleep downloaded. So we lit a bunch of candles and we listened to some No Sleep and we scooched our furniture as close as we could to the fireplace because we slept last night in it just fine. But last night it wasn't in the negatives. It was now in the negatives.
Yeah.
And I noticed that our house, and this is just the lowest I know, I'm sure it went lower, but our house was 31 degrees.
Yeah, we got below freezing in hours because two of my house plants, I don't know if they're going to make it. I'm worried my peace lily is going to die. I'm trying to, I did a healing spell on it and my ivy today, like surrounded them and shit and everything to try to keep them alive because we got below freezing in my house.
Shit, that's a good idea. I should have done that. I'm worried about several of our, because we pulled our plants in, but it didn't do a fuck of good.
Yeah, if it freezes. Because
it was still below freezing in the house. And, you know, so we start piling on blankets. And then I start thinking, what do you do if you don't have blankets? And I just kept thinking of people. And like I think I had started to tell the story in the live or the bonus, one of the things we've recorded. But, oh, it was the live. There is a guy who we always see picking up trash in our neighborhood, and he lives, from what I can tell, in his car. And we, a couple of days ago, we got him some shoes and some food and like got him Taco Bell. And I put him like some like little, like just stuff you might want, you know, mm-hmm. like a toothbrush and some baby wipes and shit like that. And we took that to him, and I just kept thinking of him, and I'm like, fuck, I hope he's okay. And then that, of course, makes you think of it. If you can kind of humanize it and on a small level, then you start thinking about, like, what about everybody else who's not okay?
I was thinking about, which is funny because I don't normally think about these kinds of things, but I was thinking about, like, people with young children, you know, and trying to explain to them what's going on and why they're so cold, you know, like just... I was just thinking how exhausting that would be, you know, because not only are you taking care of yourself, you have to worry about your kids, and your kids are going to be upset because they're freezing, you know? Like, what do you mean they can't have dinner normally? And what do you mean they can't take a bath? And like, what do you mean we can't do all of these things? And why is it 30 goddamn degrees in our house? And why is the ceiling literally covered in icicles? Like, it was just, I thought about them.
Did you see some of those pictures from Dallas, the inside?
Where the pipes exploded, especially icicles? Apartment buildings, it seemed, got hit really hard.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think in a house, it's kind of easy to, you know, you remember to let your pipes drip let your faucets drip. But in an apartment, you can't like guarantee everybody's going to do it or
whatever.
But, and it's like, if your upstairs neighbors, like if they're then you're fucked and the people below you are fucked. So it's just this chain reaction of fuckedry. Anyway. So I end up staying up. We put the last log on the fire and we're like, I guess this is all we can do. So we get in our little chairs that we have pushed up to the fire, and I cannot sleep because I know that if I go to sleep, you can easily just slip away by freezing. And there was no dramaticness here. It wasn't like, I'm so cold, I could freeze to death. It was cold enough to freeze to death on the inside of my house with blankets, with a fire. So I stayed up and I just like kept an eye on everybody, made sure the dog was still breathing, and, you know, just tried to stir the embers every once in a while to put something out. And when the sun started to come up is when I kind of put my head down and I was like, okay, I'm going to rest a bit. And then we had to make coffee by putting it in the fireplace. And again, this is all it's not like a big issue. My issue is how there was failure on the end of several parties responsible. There was failure.
People were left completely to our own. We were left to fend for ourselves completely.
Yeah. And that's the thing that bothers me the most. We made it through. We made it through with relatively little to complain about. It was scary as shit. I'm not going to lie. It was
eye-opening.
Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was also a point where I started thinking about one of my neighbors has solar panels on their house. They're like, they've got one of those roofs that's like solar panels. And I'm like, you know what? I don't think it's too far off to think that people might try to like get in their house.
Oh, because they assumed they would have power.
Yeah. Or, you know, they would have some kind of heat or, you know, and if people start truly fending for themselves, because I guess we had to, and I was actually really scared about that. And I have a neighbor who is, you know, in his 80s. And I was like, I don't know. Like, do I go check on him? COVID. And there's just so many different factors. And then there's this boil notice and then the rolling blackouts. And and I also want to talk about this. The thing that pissed a lot of people off, myself fucking included, were all these pictures. If you haven't seen them, I think they're kind of poignant. But it's Dallas, Houston, and I think Austin, maybe? Fort Worth, Dallas, and Houston. Yeah. The skylines were lit up on fire, bright as shit, and nobody around has any power.
Yeah. People were freezing but the skylines.
Yes, literally. But the skylines were on.
Yeah.
Because we got to have that Dallas skyline. Got to have that fucking Freedom Tower or whatever it's called now. Reunion Tower?
Reunion
Tower. The
ball
in the sky. Freedom Tower. Eagle, Bald Eagle Tower. But... another thing was when we looked at the power outage maps, it seemed from where I was sitting, I know the affluent parts of Fort Worth. I know the affluent parts of Dallas. I know the parts that are less affluent. And guess who had consistent power?
Mm-hmm.
Is all I'm saying. But, you know, and then every news story I saw was pissing me off because it was like, Texas has rolling blackouts. And it's like, no, the point of a rolling blackout is to distribute the power. It's not a fucking rolling blackout if people are going 48 hours without power.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it was, they were like, well, it's supposed to be, you know, you have power for 3 hours and then they shut it off for 30 minutes. And it's like, how about you flip that and double it, you dicks? How about it's 6 hours no power and like 10 minutes with power and it's negative 4 degrees outside and you don't even tell us at all when we're going to get it back. And we're just like these meager little peasants just waiting for any drop of something we can use to feed ourselves and not fucking freeze.
You know, if they even made it roll at all, that they exaggerated how much they were doing, I think, anyway. And then I know that Clark was getting pissed off because he was on Twitter and several people were like, give the electricity, give them a break. They're doing the best they can. And it's like, yeah, I'm sure the individual workers are. Nobody's saying that they aren't. But like, it's a little bit more than give them a break, guys, or get over it, or put on a sweater. You'll be fine. It's a little bit more intense than that, you dick. But the other thing is we're lucky we've got gas, so we had hot water, you know, when we were out of the boil, because I didn't consume any water that wasn't out of my storage. But there are people who don't have gas. There are people who have electric, you know, it's just and then the internet's out, the power's out. How do you know about the boil notice?
Well, you know, there's also no y'all in the city. We were okay for somewhat out here, but y'all didn't even have 4G or any cellular reception at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff was crazy. I even after the power came on, I would get texts like in batches, you know, and which is fine, you know, to sit here and complain about not getting my text messages. But at the same time, I'm getting texts that's like four for my mom in a row. That's like, are you alive?
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a little scary, is to like, someone you love went through a really scary time, you know, shit's bad where they are, and then you just don't hear from them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I understand where a lot of this from our ends might seem a little trivial, but it, and I keep saying that because I can just, it's just echoing in my head. I can keep hearing people like, oh, you can't make it through a freeze. Don't know what to tell you. But I really want to get away from that. I don't like that. Let's not do that.
Yeah, it was the not knowing that made it so hard. The complete lack of knowing when this was going to get better. Some people still don't have their power. Still, you know, I don't know what you do if you don't know anyone. You know, I was lucky enough. There's safety in numbers here. I was able to go to my mom's, you know, and stay up there. But if not, you know, with Hunter working nights, I would have been alone in this house below freezing with no heat. And that's really scary. And so while my story is not necessarily bad, it could have been. And it so easily could have been.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, it really was. I mean, out here, people were leaving their houses to go in their cars. So they could run their heater.
Yeah.
And just sleep in their car and hope they don't run out of gas and die. Yeah, there were people out in their front lawns, like making fires and burning furniture.
Yeah, just to stay warm.
Furniture people were heating themselves with. It. Crazy. Crazy. Yeah. And to just put it in perspective a little bit, you know, a lot of this is because we were not prepared for it. So this is like, say somebody, you know, Canada. You know, say a 119 degree summer comes through, you know what I mean? And then everyone loses the ability to cool themselves. Like you lose your power. There's no AC. Your house is literally made to be an oven. So it's keeping this heat in. You know, they're going to be older people who don't make it. There's going to be animals and people who are perfectly fine who don't make it, you know? So it's just, it's all relative, and I'd like everyone to keep that in mind.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense here. That's the whole moral of it. It'd be like if Montana got a hurricane, you know, like it's not,
yeah,
what happens, you know?
Can you imagine?
Yeah. You know, and like, it's just not how things work here. And the climate is fucked. And, you know, I don't think that this is going to stop. I think this is going to escalate. It's basically my mom, you know, let me know. She was like, hey, I kind of made a decision for you. You can cancel it if you want, but I have an appointment to like, I went ahead and called to get your gas tank filled. I was like, do not cancel it. That's a good idea. I want them here as soon as they can. But even so, it's going to take them weeks until they can get out here. Yeah. So it'll be over. You know, this is like just preparation for next year, of course. But like, no, like all the gloves are off. Like we're getting a permanent fireplace put in. Like it's, this isn't going to happen again, because I think this will happen again and it will continue to happen. Yeah. Our whole fucking aquaponic system froze into a block of ice. Like,
are you kidding me?
It'll be okay.
Like, did the fish die?
They're not in it yet. No, we waited because we.
Oh, okay. Like, it's,
yeah, the fish though would have frozen solid because it was so cold. Even it running, it froze. The whole thing froze, and like not just kind of froze. Like it was a block of ice, and it looked so dramatic because the pipes had like these dripping icicles coming out of all of them. It looked like the penguin's lair. It was insane.
Can we also talk about how things don't freeze solid here? I mean, even if you put a bowl out of water, you know, for an animal, it doesn't, you'll get like a layer of ice over the top. But to walk out and see my dog's big ass bowl of water frozen solid made me go, oh.
Yeah. I had to carry a big ass Tupperware, and I'd do hot water every time, twice a day to my fucking chickens. Like, and this was before they were in the cage, because we had a week of below freezing ice storm weather, you know, before the snow, before a week of snow, we had a week of ice again, which doesn't happen. And so I was having twice a day to carry a big ass Tupperware of hot water to my chickens, because by 6 hours or 8 hours from then, it wouldn't be just like icy. It would be a block of ice and they'd be chipping at it with their beaks. And I was just like, this is fucking ludicrous. Like, are you serious?
I can't. In my mind, you're dressed up like a 14th century laundress, you know, a peasant woman who's set about to do her chores.
I did buy, and it's also because I'm reading through Outlander. I did buy a pattern for a very cottagecore type dress, exactly like what you're talking about after all of this.
But also, you know what would have been useful was that big chunky sweater blanket you just bought.
Let me tell you how many times I thought about my future cuddligan. I thought about it every day, all day long. And I was just like, man, you know what would be nice right now? Like all day when I was so cold, especially before I went up to mom's, like when we had two nights freezing here in the house, I thought about it all the time.
Macy bought this... massive, it's gonna swallow you whole, chunky slanket, basically. Yeah, right,
it's a chunky knit big hooded, and the hood is like serious, it will like cover my whole head. It's just, they're made in England. This woman just kind of a business popped up. She made one for her son for Christmas, and he posted it on Reddit, and I happened to have seen that post like right when he put it up. And it's this chunky knit giant sweater / cardigan thing. And it's just so intense. It's oversized. It's huge. The thing weighs like 5 pounds. Like, it's serious business. And I saw it and I was like, man, that's amazing. And then he commented and he was like, hey, because of all of like the love, like we made an Instagram and like my mom's going to start making these. And like, it's kind of blown up. And I thought about it for like a month and a half. And I didn't stop thinking about it. And I got on there.
You would have done it. You would have had it in time.
I know. And so I finally got on there and ordered one. And it's going to take, I mean, like, I'm very happy to say she is drowning in orders, which just warmed my heart. But like, it's going to take a while to get it, you know, because she's just making them by hand, you know. And I thought about it all the time. Just like, man, if I had that right now, I would just hibernate through this and it would all be okay.
Dude, and when we say chunky knit, it's like that yarn that's as big as your wrist.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's y'all, I'm looking up it now in case y'all wanna on Instagram, just so you can see what we're talking about. I can't wait to get it. It's called so their Instagram is The Cuddly Gan. So Cuddly GAN. And it's the best thing in the whole universe. And I can't wait to get it. And this isn't a sponsored ad or anything. I've thought about it consecutively. Kept me alive is what it did. Those thoughts Cuddly kept Gam. Me alive.
Reach out to us if you'd like to advertise on the Whiskey Culture Hour. Oh man. Well, I was a little bit worried about reliving this here today. I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to remember everything, frankly, or that talking about it would bring about some kind of negativity. But I feel good. I feel like we've told our tale, and it was like a release almost.
Yeah, it really was. And it was interesting to hear your kind of your side of things. And there were definitely memories made. I will never forget my first shower, like my first hot shower, because I didn't plan ahead really. And I don't even know if I showered on that Sunday before the power went out. I think I showered Saturday night and I was not able to shower again until Wednesday evening. That's a long time. And, you know, I was cold most of that whole time. And, you know, you're just, your routine's off and you're not like eating as well. And you're just kind of wearing the same clothes and you just feel kind of gross. And I took a hot shower and I think I left my body for a minute. And then I had to like, because I was still in the mode of like, you don't know when you're going to lose power. You know, at this point it had been on for like 2 hours and I was like, this is a big deal. This doesn't really happen. We hadn't had that happen in a week, you know, or several days at least. And so then I was like, I got to get out of the shower. I got to blow dry my hair, because if I don't blow dry my hair and it's like fucking 30 degrees in the house, my hair is to my waist. And so I had to like cut my nice warm shower short to go blow, which I don't blow dry my hair. I have a blow dryer and I don't use it. I was like, but I gotta blow dry my goddamn hair because I'll freeze to death. And so it pulled me right out of the shower that I was enjoying to be like, fuck. And dude, got out, you know.
Let me just, ugh. I'm going to admit something here to you and all of our listeners, and I'm sorry if this is too much information, but I realized on day one of shortly after the power went out that I did not have enough underwear to make it through.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't.
Because you think you can just do laundry the next day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that was my thought going to sleep that the night when it happened, was just like, oh, I got to get up, do laundry. I'm going to do this. I woke up, can't do laundry. So I had to do the old swim bottom trick for a couple of days.
Dude, I feel that so hard. So did I. I had to pack some
not
to take to my mom.
Pleasant.
I did the same thing.
I'm so glad I'm not alone. I'm glad that we're here together.
Yeah, no, that I was there. Here's the thing. I do a lot of chores on the weekend. I clean usually, like organize and whatnot. I hate doing laundry. I won't sully my weekend with it, period. I usually do laundry on like Monday and Tuesday, and the power went out Monday morning at like 5 a.m. I was in the same boat as you.
Oh man. So hey, look, if anything, this puts into perspective a couple of things. I know that I will not slack off on the laundry for some time being. I'm sure I will eventually go back to my default state of being a trash bag person, but for the time being, I am not taking shit like that for granted.
Yeah. And you know what? It's amazing how quickly you adjust, because like I keep my house very warm. Like my house in the wintertime is usually is 75 degrees, 75, 76 degrees. And if it's like below that, I get fucking cold, you know. But so like I've been dealing with such cold temperatures. At this point, my house was trying to heat up and it's going to be so expensive. I'm dreading my bill. And my house is heated up from 30 degrees to warm again multiple times, and it's going to cost so much money. But by this point, the house was 60 degrees and that felt so warm. And so I took my shower and then I was just like walking around with my wet hair on me in a towel, not even bothered. at all. And it was 60 degrees. And if I like get out of the shower and it's 75 degrees, I'm like, oh, it's so cold. But it was that quick. Just in a few days, I went from getting out of the shower covered in wet hair and just a towel, walking around a 60 degree house, feeling like I was in a sauna.
I'm sorry. My mind is blown. I just heard you and under 70 degrees got along for a minute. And yeah. I don't know what to do with this information.
Yeah.
Wow.
May it never happen again.
May. And I think that that's the I think that's the words we want to end on is may it never happen again.
Yeah. Be prepared.
Be prepared.
Keep your teeth and ambitions bared.
Bared. just listen to Teacher.
He's such a sass man.
sass man.
So when like Hunter started working nights and I had like a whole week, he did that for 11 days all in. And so he started working nights. And so it was just me in the house. And this was when we still had power. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to watch Disney movies. I have fuck else to do. And I was just feeling like that's what I needed because it was already cold and I'd been housebound for several days.
So oh, I watched yeah, like, when Rustin gave you his password so you could watch Star Wars and you didn't, you watched
yeah,
Disney.
Yeah, he gave me his password specifically to watch The Mandalorian. And then I was like, oh, that's great, thanks. And then I know on his history, he just sees Lion King, Lion King, Simba's Pride, Aladdin, Bug's Life, Moana.
But no Mandalorian.
No Mandalorian. He was also like watch WandaVision. Nope, didn't do that either. Like, just watch that.
So, you're just in your living room so singing along to fucking be prepared.
Oh my god. Yeah, I forgot how much of an absolute just sassy bitch Scar is, and I'm so here for it.
You know what my favorite line of all time is when fucking little Simba is like, "You're weird." And he's you have no
idea. I love his little he's so sarcastic. Just the oh goody.
I'll have to practice my curtsy.
I love it. What is it? Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Can't believe you're going to sit there and look me in the eye time and time again and tell me you don't think Jafar's hot.
I've always found him incredibly lame.
I love him so much.
I just think he's lame.
Nope. You're lame.
I know. That might be part of the problem. He does. I do like I like his little snake staff, though. That thing's badass.
Mind manipulate.
Yeah. Yeah. The little marshmallow king. He's just like comically squishy and small.
I thought that he would feel good to like squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Well, where are we going to put this? Are we going to put this like after the credits?
Maybe we record something here right before we go and we just can throw it at the beginning. Just, hey, before today's episode, we talk a little bit about XYZ. You can find it after the music.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean, yeah, the end music.
Yeah. You want to do
like that?
Should we sure. go back and forth? Okay. Let's leave all of this in and then we'll cut right here. And then everything we say now will be at the beginning.
Wonderful.
Okay.